are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here on this Thursday episode with Nick Winkler, our weekly wink episode. It was a fun bye week, but now we get to look forward to week five action, primetime, Browns 49ers on Monday Night Football. And we've got some leftovers in the mailbag that Nick and I will definitely be hitting on this show, and a little bit of news, some movement on the 49ers practice squad to get into. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review this show. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Himalaya, all of your favorite podcast apps. You can find this show and all of the programs on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. Nick is at Bay Area Wink. Email the show, LockedOn49ers at Gmail, or just go to LockedOn49ers.com and find everything involving this show. Now let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nick, are you excited for some football? The early bye just straight sucks, right?
Dude, it's just the worst. It's like you get in the mode of every Sunday, you know, you're watching and then your team comes on. You know, and then like 3 weeks in, all of a sudden you're like, oh, next week's a bye week. That means I have 2 full weeks until I get to watch my team play. Yeah, I just don't get the same enthusiasm on Sundays. Like, fantasy football helps and it's fun to watch other games. And trust me, I'll watch any football game ever. But there's just something to be said for that, you know, 1:25 start time when you know it's coming and you're watching those morning games. And like, you know, even if your fantasy team's not doing well, you're still getting pumped. You're like, okay, I still got the Niners. Still got the Niners. Especially this year, man. So, yeah, this is going to be another Sunday where you don't have 49er football, but then, oh yeah, bright lights, baby. Monday night, I'm going to be in the house too. It's going to be a lot of fun.
A little bit of roster movement here coming off the bye and into week five, especially in the defensive backfield. The 49ers dropped a couple guys from the practice squad, added an offensive lineman, added Tease Tabor, former second-round pick from the Detroit Lions. I talked a little bit about that stuff on yesterday's show. And then today, some more news. The 49ers have had former Stanford cornerback Quentin Meeks in for a visit and potentially signing him to, I would assume, the active roster, because the 49ers had talked about and numerous beat writers had mentioned that they could add a guy to the practice squad and add another corner to the active roster with the injuries and stuff happening there. So Quentin Meeks maybe could be that guy. Dante Johnson, a former 49er on and off multiple times, also coming in for a visit. And then another announcement in the secondary: Antoine Exum has been released, and the 49ers are bringing back former sixth-round pick Marcel Harris out of the University of Florida. He got cut to start the season, but was brought back to the practice squad. They've now activated him to the 53-man roster. So not major moves, everything at the bottom of the roster, but some shuffling there. I wonder if the 49ers are just trying to see what sticks.
Yeah, it's funny. I bet if you asked like the average 49er fan, like, oh, what do you think of Dante Johnson back with the team? They'd be like, he left?
Right, yeah, like, he's not still sticking around?
Wait, what? When did he leave? I thought he was still on the 49ers. Like you said, man, he comes in and he goes.
And I don't think any of these guys are going to have major impacts. I guess the young player in Marcel Harris, they wanted to give him another shot. But
makes sense.
Ideally, everybody that has been brought in this week doesn't ever take a snap for you, right?
Right. Yeah, those are like injury guys, right? Like emergency use only.
Yes. Yeah, break glass in case of emergency. And talked about how Tease Tabor was not very good for the Lions at all. Not a very good second round draft pick. And I'm interested to see Emmanuel Mosley get the start at cornerback, because sure, they're not bringing anybody in that's going to start over him, it looks like. And Jason Verrett might be banged up a little bit more now, which is, you know, unfortunately his deal. And Mosley's not terrible. Like, so
right,
the big problems are obviously Justin School at left tackle. You lose Joe Staley, you plug in a rookie, and at least he got indoctrinated to the NFL, played a full game in week three, then had a bye week to watch some tape and get mentally prepared for.
Watch a lot of tape of Mac.
Yeah, right. Miles Garrett's going
Garrett,
to be.
Garrett, yeah.
Miles Garrett is like, that's scary. That's got to be scary, right, if you're a veteran, let alone if you are a sixth round rookie. Emmanuel Mosley, I think, physically might be more talented, and he's got a year under his belt, which is good, even though he was an undrafted free agent last year. I like what I saw from Mosley, he definitely earned himself a roster spot, and he played well in the preseason. And, you know, in a vacuum, it's like, okay, good. Mosley, I feel more comfortable with him than School, but at the same time, one mistake at cornerback, and we've seen it in the past with Odell Beckham, and he's actually even beaten Akella Witherspoon like a drum for a long score. That could, I mean, that can change the scoreboard even quicker than, you know, a Myles Garrett sack would.
Yeah, and it's a little bit scary, too, because OBJ is coming off of a 2-for-20 game, too. So, you know, he's going to be in there just, you know, we got to get this right. We got, you know, throw me the damn ball sort of situation. And Jarvis Landry might be out, so that's obviously good news for the 49ers in that secondary. But, you know, they're going to move OBJ around and try to work those matchups and try to keep him away from Sherman. So I wouldn't be surprised if those two never line up against each other all weekend or all Monday night.
And Odell hasn't even been terrible against Sherman either, so they might try. Right. And I talked about it yesterday with Jeff Lloyd of Locked On Browns, and we talked about how Richard Sherman, when Odell was a rookie and Sherman was still in Seattle, Odell beat Sherman a few times. Like, that was a matchup. It was a good matchup for Odell. And then when we saw the 49ers play the Giants, we saw Odell continually hit Sherman with comeback routes, because I think Sherman was mindful of that and wanted to stay on top of Odell. So he was playing him, you know, back a little bit. And then when Odell was on the other side, he burnt Akella Witherspoon for a long touchdown. And then, you know, that was one of those classic plays where Witherspoon gets burnt, looks at the safety. He's like, what's happening? What happened? Where were you? And the safety's like, I don't know. Where were you? I can't cover everybody. So it's like, it's one of those situations that we haven't seen a lot this year that we did see a lot in the past. And so that is a worry. Miscommunications in the secondary. There have been some, but mostly cleaned up, which is a great sign no matter who's out there playing corner. And you hope Mosley and either Moore or Ward, whoever is at free safety, are on the same page. But I like Emmanuel Mosley. He's not a rookie. He's had a chance to play a little bit. He's graded out okay in the snaps that he has had a chance to take. He's a 4-4-2 guy. He's really athletic. He did worked out really well before the draft. Probably should have been drafted. 49ers got a little bit of a steal as an undrafted free agent there, I think, in Emmanuel Mosley. And I think he's up to the challenge. And so we'll see how that works and we'll see how that looks. So
yeah, I'm interested. Hope that during the bye week that, you know, guys like Bosa and Ford had some time to heal up, you know, and really get close to 100%, because I don't think either one of those guys have been there yet so far this season. So hopefully they, you know, they come back fresh, healthy, ready to go. And you just get a whole lot of pressure on Mayfield. And then you don't even worry too much about Mosley out there.
That's the key for the 49ers in this game, is that defensive line that's playing like animals. Mm-hmm. D Ford, Nick Bosa, a little bit healthier now after the bye. Make life difficult for Baker Mayfield. Make life difficult for Nick Chubb in the run game, because I think the offense and what sucks, I think, for the 49ers in week 5 is that the Browns might have figured something out in week 4 against the Ravens, and that offense has to run through Chubb and maybe get a little downhill there with Chubb, and then, you know, play off of that with Baker Mayfield instead of trying to run everything through Mayfield first like they did at the beginning of the season. And that's what worked for him last year at the end of the year. We saw that in week 4. They might have figured something out. So it's going to start with that defensive line. They've got to be stout, and they've got to stop the run. The linebacker's got to be active in getting, not letting Chubb get these big runs like we saw last week. And I think the 49ers are well suited for that. And then, of course, you know, put Baker Mayfield in those down and distance situations where they can get after him and make life difficult. And that's going to be the key to the game. And I think the 49ers can do it, but it is a tough task to ask.
Sure.
It makes things a little bit difficult when two of your best players get to go up against guys who weren't supposed to be starters for the 49ers, with Odell versus Mosley and Garrett versus Justin School. Like, those are the matchups that the 49ers just have to not lose big on.
Right.
And they have to win everywhere else.
Yeah, and hopefully we get to see Jalen Hurd this weekend. That's really, I'm really excited for that. Hopefully he actually gets activated and gets put out there on the field. That'd be great to see him in uniform running around, see if they've got any special routes made out for him, and maybe even Coleman. I mean, I don't know if you've heard anything, any recent updates on either one of those guys, but it'd be nice to get a couple more offensive weapons back.
Thursday we'll know more about the injury report, more how those statuses are looking. I don't know if Hurd, even if healthy and ready to go, since he hasn't been practicing a lot, I don't know if he'll be the guy that's active either. So he might still be inactive, but have a chance to practice, which is key, then build up some practices, then get activated, then we'll see him on the field. So that's still not for sure, but Tevin Coleman is the one that when he's active, he'll be ready to go, and I wonder how they'll utilize all of those running backs, and one of those four guys, most likely Jeff Wilson, will probably not suit up if Tevin Coleman does.
And is Tevin Coleman going to take over that Jeff Wilson goal line situation?
Yeah, I think the best way to play it, I don't know how Shanahan views it. Shanahan viewed Coleman as the starter before he got hurt. I think we've seen now that maybe the best role for Coleman would be the change of pace guy, the third down guy. Maybe he's a little bit better receiver than Matt Breida. He's a bigger guy, better goal line runner. So short yardage, third down type of a player in Tevin Coleman, and then give more of the carries to Matt Breida. That's the way I would work it. I have no idea how Shanahan's going to go about it, or if it's just going to be, you know, a couple series here, a couple series there, play the hot hand, we'll see.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he rotates all three of them, too. I mean, Mostert's definitely shown that he can run in this league, that's for sure. He needs to hold on to that football.
Shall we hit this mailbag?
I'm in.
Let's do it. Long day at work, still stuck at the office. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking? Of course you'd take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? Put that knowledge to use. If you're listening to this show, you're obviously a well-informed football fan. Make yourself a little cash with MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. This from Niner Empire 49. He says, as you guys know, we've been flexed out of Sunday Night Football a few times over the last few years. If we continue to win, do you think we get flexed into Sunday Night Football game? And do you think Week 6 against the Rams would be a possibility?
Isn't it like a 12-day notice they have to give or something?
I think that's the rule. Let me see if I can find it. I'm pretty sure
that's the rule. So it would be the 13th. So we would have already passed that date, unfortunately.
And I believe on that date, it was Matt Burrows. Let me see if I can find it, who reported that it was definitely not going to get flexed into primetime.
Right.
Here we go. Yes. Matt Burrows, the 49ers-Rams game on October 13th in Los Angeles is not being flexed into primetime. The game will kick off at 1:05 p.m. as previously scheduled.
Why would they do that? That doesn't make any sense to me for the NFL. Like, that's
I do not know.
That's crazy.
Especially after the 49ers win their 49th. By the way, this is from Nick Wagner, a nice little nugget. The 49ers have the most victories on Monday Night Football. I think a lot of 49ers fans knew that. They dominated Monday Night Football for a long time in the 80s and 90s. If they beat Cleveland on Monday, they will have 49 wins on Monday Night Football all time.
Oh, look at that. Isn't that nice? Yeah. I mean, back to that Sunday night thing. It's the Steelers and the Chargers. Come on. The Steelers? Ay, ay, ay. The Chargers? They got like 3 wins between them.
I think early in the season, it's hard. And they probably think, well, look, we're going to get enough of a bump on Monday Night Football for those teams. It's not going to be worth it in the end to mess with things. But at the end of the year, especially if the Steelers continue on the path they have to start this season, and it was a NFC West battle late in the year, then maybe you flex that thing. But I think in Week 6, it's just like, yeah, it's too early to make any major.
Maybe if the Rams had won last week, and they're like, okay, it might be a battle of undefeated.
Right. Yeah, maybe that would have helped. And still, it's definitely a better game. But yeah, I don't know. And you have to change. I mean, imagine if you had tickets and all of a sudden they're like, oh, hey, remember that those plans you had? Change them because it's a different game time now. So
right, a whole different, yeah. Yeah, that's a huge.
There has to be a good reason, a really, really, really good reason, I think, too.
I think it might be that West Coast thing, too. They want to make sure they keep East Coast people involved since it's an 8 p.m. Eastern start time on that.
Yeah, that's true. That could be a part of it. I could see a lot of different angles where it just doesn't make sense in Week 6. And might have made sense in Week 16. I don't know, but it's still going to be a great game. I can't wait for that one. That one's going to be fun. And the 49ers could be rolling into that 4-1. We've got Thursday night football with the Rams at Seahawks, which is an interesting one. And right now, that's a battle for sole second place in the division, at least for another few days. If the 49ers lose, then whoever wins that game will actually be back in first, I believe.
Right. That makes sense because they'll have that one extra win.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot of great matchups this weekend. It's going to be a fun weekend of football.
And like what we saw last week with the Bucs throwing 50 points on the Rams, you just don't know. Things are crazy in the NFL. You know, it's an oblong ball, right? It bounces funny. And so
you look at a team like the Bucs, like the only game they, you know, they should have lost was to the Niners because they were just worked. Their other loss came on a missed field goal, like a 36 yarder. You know, the Bucs could be sitting at 3-1 right now. Like, yeah, this is why. And people were writing it off as like, oh, the Niners haven't played anyone. Like, well, the Bucs just beat the Rams. And they beat another team, too. I don't remember who it was.
That was Carolina.
Yeah, Carolina. I mean, yeah, they're not a great team, but they've been solid the past 5-6 years.
Yeah, Bucs are 2-2.
Yeah, could be 3-1. Definitely not 4-0. They never had a chance against the Niners.
No, not at all. Nobody has. Let's go to Jeremy on Twitter. What has been the most unexpected change so far this season? For me, outside of the obvious improvement in Witherspoon, it's got to be the impact of Alexander and Armstead thus far. I think he means, the most unexpected change. Okay, I see what he's saying with that. The most unexpected change so far this season. He lays out a few, I think, that are good ones.
I'm not fully understanding the question. I'm a little slow today.
I didn't understand when I first read it. I was thinking, what is he saying here? Let's try this.
Like new piece to the puzzle or?
Unexpected, I think development. Instead of the word change, let's use the word development.
Okay, I like that. When they signed him, Quan Alexander, like I knew he was a good football player, but I hadn't really watched him all that much. And yeah, so for me, that to me has been the most exciting thing, just to watch that guy play football. It's a lot of fun.
I think he's playing better than he did in Tampa, too. And like I knew he was fast. I knew he was athletic. I knew he could run sideline to sideline.
He's just always in it.
He's been a major piece, and I like the energy he brings. I think is huge. Yeah. I think that's a big part of it. And so they definitely saw something. His coverage has been really good. So he's been a perfect fit. We talked about it before. He's wearing 56. Basically, all you have to do is squint and be like, okay, that's Reuben Foster. That's what Reuben Foster was supposed to be. They had to buy out their mistake of a draft pick, and they still got the production they were looking for. So the 49ers just had to spend some money, and they got to where they wanted to be when they drafted Reuben Foster. He's wearing 56. He's active. He's hitting guys. He's got energy. He's covering. He's running around. And that linebacker group, not talked about, I think, nationally, it needs to start. And maybe we'll see. Versus Nick Chubb, that's a great matchup.
Game, yeah.
Monday Night Football, maybe that's the coming out party for Fred Warner and Quan Alexander. People will be like, this is a really good tandem of linebackers.
And Greenlaw's been playing solid, too. I mean, it's just that whole defense, man. It's been, especially the front seven, they've been fantastic. It's been a lot of fun to watch.
Let's go to Shano. He says, shout out to BD Peacock, Bay Area Wink, and of course, Leo, El Mero Mero, which I don't know Spanish, so I don't know what that means. Can you help me out there, Nick?
I cannot.
You run a Mexican restaurant. You're supposed to be able to. Yeah. Yeah. If you had a food reference, I could definitely tell you where that is, what that means. But I don't know. I assume it's a good thing. So thank you for that. Okay. Here we go. Look, the one and only is what that means.
Ah,
I like it.
I like that.
That's great. That's a good one. I'm going to get that tattooed.
On your face.
Is it just me, or does it seem like Ryan Clark and Nate Burleson are habitually, purposefully hating on the 49ers this season? I think Richard Sherman knows what I'm talking about. So he's first of all, I will say this about Nate Burleson and that Good Morning Football show, which is the worst football and or sports related program on television.
Yeah, so stop watching it and stop listening to
him. That's your problem right there as you're watching. It's basically, these guys, like, honestly, if I was a federal agent and I wanted to find somewhere where I thought there might be a stash of cocaine, it would probably be there. Like, 5 o'clock in the morning, they're out of their minds. Just,
right.
I mean, obviously, it's probably just a whole bunch of caffeine and coffee.
But no, I hear what you're saying. Over there.
But the show's bad. I mean, they're just like, okay, it's too early in the morning to be doing this. Let's get cracked out of our minds on coffee and just talk about not, it's like, it's bad. It's bad football coverage. That's the worst show on TV. Don't watch it. That's my advice there. As for Ryan Clark, he's just, you know, he's a former player giving his opinions. I don't know. Hey, you can't put too much stock into the talking heads that aren't super close to the team, and when they don't have a lot to back up what they're saying, they've got to fill some time, and sometimes they make mistakes, and maybe that's the case there. So I don't think they're purposefully like, I can't stand the 49ers, I'm hating on them. And I know sometimes as a fan, it feels that way. I know I get a lot of feedback with the crossover episodes, and some listeners get mad just because the host of the opposing team says something good about their team, and they feel like it's disrespecting the 49ers. It's like, no, you can pump the brakes there on that. There can be different opinions, and we'll see. They're going to play out the game, and we'll find out on Monday Night Football.
Well, and it really comes down to this. And my wife has said it many times, you know, as I'm sure many wives out there have as well, that there's this problem with men sometimes, that they just have a problem admitting when they're wrong. And so they'll just keep digging that hole deeper and deeper and deeper. And they both were like, no, the Niners aren't going to be any good this year. And so they've got to keep saying it over and over and over, just digging that hole deeper and deeper and deeper. And hey, guys, just suck it up. Admit it. You were wrong.
Learn from it. Grow as a human being.
There you go. I like it.
Adam Rank is a good one because he was actually on KNBR recently talking about it. And he's like, yeah, I'm an idiot. I screwed up. Remember, he's the guy that he said the 49ers would be 3-13. And look, you've got to predict. You've got to have some flashy predictions. If you're on TV doing that kind of thing, nobody's going to watch if you're predicting everybody to be 8-8. And he predicted 3-13. 49ers already have 3 wins. So it could still go 3-13. So he's not technically wrong yet.
Right.
But yeah, so those kind of things happen. And so where are you getting that information, I think, is the big key.
Yeah, just stop listening to those guys.
More mailbag coming up. Let's go to our guy, Steve, a frequent mailbagger on Twitter. He says, what do you prioritize, stifling Chubb or pressuring Mayfield? What would the 49ers do to reduce Garrett's influence on the game? Keep up the good work, dude.
I'm so mature.
I know. That was a good
one. It's tough to stifle a Chubb.
Yeah, it's hard. What do you do? You just got to stay seated, right?
It's hard. What do you do?
Don't stand up.
Oh, man.
I think one leads to the other, so you start with Chubb, right?
Yeah, you have to. Just look at what he did last week. That was scary. Watching that, knowing that they're coming into Santa Clara next week, it's like, ooh, okay. I know what's going to be keeping up Sala for the next 2 weeks, and that's how to slow this guy down.
Yeah, and one thing they did is two tight ends. They ran a lot of two tight ends, and I think that's what we saw in week one when Ronald Jones got going in the second half against the Buccaneers. And if I was an offensive coordinator, and I'm not great with X's and O's, but that's one of the things I would definitely be doing is running two tight ends against the 49ers, because that wide nine and the defensive ends are spread out. You can use those tight ends to keep the defensive ends outside, and then you can double team both defensive tackles and really create some space inside and some running lanes. And so that's what they did good last week, and I think that's the key for the 49ers. So that's what I would expect. And DeForest Buckner, as beastly as he is, he's still 6'8", and you got two interior offensive linemen on you underneath your pads. It's kind of hard for him to anchor down, and I think it's easier for DJ Jones being a nose tackle and being, 6 feet, 300 pounds. He's so close to the ground and so squatty and powerful. It's easier for him to hold up versus the run against a double team. But that's the way I would attack it. And so there is some potential there for Chubb to have a day against the 49ers. Then it's up to the linebackers that we mentioned doing their thing. And I'm confident in Tart. I'm confident in Alexander. I'm confident in Fred Warner. So even if there are some running lanes, I don't think he's going to be running 80 yards down the field like he did against the Ravens.
Yeah, but I mean, you mentioned it earlier. Like that's going to be the matchup to watch this weekend. It's going to be those two linebackers, Warner and Alexander, against Chubb. I'm going to be watching that all night long, and hopefully, our boys come out on top and really hit him in the mouth early. And maybe he thinks twice about cutting back it, and just going down. Don't try to get those extra yards, or do. And then, Warner's Mr. Punch Man. Just get in there and start knocking some balls out.
Yeah, there you go. Turnovers.
I like it. We need to get some more of those.
You got to win the turnover battle this week. You can't be turning the ball over 5 times.
No,
that's one thing
the
49ers can't do.
Hopefully that's just that one game where you look back and you're like, remember when they turned the ball over 5 freaking times?
Just fluky and weird, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't have 2 the rest of the season.
Well, as Jeff put it when we were doing the Browns 49ers crossover episode, the team that has the defensive line that eats the most is going to win this game. And I think the 49ers are still set up to have the better matchup with their defensive line versus the Browns offensive line.
That's a good point.
But to that point, the second part of Steve's question, what do the 49ers do to reduce Garrett's influence on the game? I think we saw the blueprint for that last week. They ran right. They ran right all game long. And so they're going to run away from him, and they're going to help him out, and McGlinchey's going to be all alone again. And you know, he didn't have the greatest game, but he's done pretty well this season, and I'll take my chances with McGlinchey one-on-one and have tons of help for school on the left side and then run away from Garrett. And that's the way they did it last week. I assume they're just going to do that again.
Yeah, it definitely makes the most sense. Although, you know, that's probably what the Browns saw too. And they were like, okay, you know, this is what they're going to do to us. And so, you know, Kyle Shanahan, I'm sure he has a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, you know, ready to go in case that's, you know, in case Browns are ready for that.
Right. And you have a plan and then you have a backup plan. And so hopefully the first plan works. So maybe you change it up on them and it looks one way in the first half, looks different in the second half. And you got to make an adjustment to the adjustments. And the 49ers have been pretty good. They've been pretty well coached so far this year. So for all those reasons, I like the 49ers' chances. You know, the Browns come in across country. The 49ers are good on Monday Night Football. The crowd's going to be rocking. The 49ers have like a home field advantage, a true home field advantage right now that they haven't had really since Levi's Stadium opened.
Yeah, and I'm going to be in the house. I'm going to probably not have a voice next week for the show. So, you know, if that's something you're into, then tune in next week. But no, I'm with you 100%, man. This is going to be exciting. The 49ers coming in 3-0, Monday Night Football, actually have some hype behind them. And it does make it a better matchup, more intriguing, because the Browns are coming off of a win, you know, and they're not sitting there looking horrible. You know, they are coming in like, okay, we're hot, we're ready to go, let's do this thing. And the 49ers, this is a show me game. Let's see what you're made of. This is your house. Are you going to protect it? Let's see.
And people who say the 49ers haven't beat anyone yet, it's kind of a fair argument. So definitely a prove it game here, and against the Rams especially next week, but still a prove it game prime time. Mm-hmm. Let's go see it. Let's continue to see that magic. And the Browns definitely are coming off a big win against a pretty good team in the Ravens, a division rival for them. So yeah, they're coming in hot too. So both these teams coming in hot. You hope there's not a little bit of a hangover from the bye week for the 49ers, but Kyle Shanahan having as many practices as he can to try to make that not happen, because he hasn't liked the way the team has come off of byes recently. Let's get to a couple more of these questions. This is from Carlos. Who will be the most prolific 49ers wide receiver? I don't know if he means for the season or just for this game. For the season, I still like Deebo Samuel to be that guy, but now it's not even clear if he's going to start over Dante Pettis, because they week three it was Dante Pettis after two straight starts from Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, and I don't think there's going to be one. I think you're going to, at the end of the season, you're going to see a bunch of guys with, you know, 600, 700, 800 yards and, you know, 50, 60 catches and, you know, a couple touchdowns spread amongst them. I don't think you're going to have that one guy that all of a sudden becomes a number one.
Rhino wants to know, do the 49ers prove themselves Monday night against the Browns, or no matter what happens, do they have to wait for that game in LA week six to get respect?
No, this is a big one. You go 4-0, you win at home, you know, you win two on the road to start a season, like you'll get the respect. But obviously, you know, the Rams is definitely a bigger litmus test, if you will. But no, I think if you go 4-0 to start a season, I think everybody's got to take you seriously.
Absolutely. And here's one more note. This is from Field Yates, the target share leaders in 2019. This goes back to the last question about who the wide receiver is for the 49ers. I know the question was specifically wide receiver, but it's still George Kittle who's the number one for the 49ers. And this stat really lays it out for you. The top 10 target share leaders in 2019, George Kittle is 10th in the league, 26.2. Most of the guys on the list are the people you would expect, team's number one, true number one type wide receivers, Michael Thomas, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins, Devontae Adams, Odell Beckham. Those are some of the names on the list ahead of George Kittle, who's number 10, most highly targeted player for his team in the NFL. He's getting targeted 26.2% of 49ers pass plays.
And I'm not sure if you talked about the Pro Football Focus, how he's rated as like the number one player in the NFL.
Number one player in the league right now with Pro Football Focus. That's true.
Yeah.
He's doing it as a receiver, mainly as a blocker. He's a maniac blocker. I love it.
Yeah. Me too. What a great football player.
Let's finish it with this. Owen and Tex Niner have a couple of predictions for the season that they have worked on that are updated. Owen says, I've used a predictor site for the entire NFL and can justify getting the 49ers to 10-6. But miss the playoffs. Rams win the division at 11-5. The NFC is so strong in the wild card race with all of the NFC North plus the Eagles, Cowboys. So that makes it difficult. And then Tex Niner has his own prediction. And these aren't related. These are two separate predictions that just happen to come down for the mailbag. He says, I have the 49ers at 13-3, so much better than Owen's predictor site. They will split the games with Seattle and LA, lose to the Saints, and that's it.
Wow. Okay. I said 9-7 to start the season. That still looks pretty good. 10-6 would be fantastic. You know, after what we've gone through the last few years, I don't want to get too ahead of myself. Obviously, you know, they're going to go 16-0, but when they don't, just remember this is a good football team. They're gonna battle it out. And if I had to go with it right now, I would probably go 10-6. I would think the rest of my games would probably end up the way they already did. And I had a loss in that Steelers game. So, I'm gonna stick with my prediction of 10. I'm changing it. Sorry. From 9-7 to 10-6 now.
I think 10-6 is fair. That's a really good place to have the prediction. That's probably right where I would be right now, reshuffling things heading into week 5 here. But 13-3 is certainly possible. It's a little too optimistic. Don't get hooked on that sort of optimism and be disappointed if the 49ers go 10-6 and even do miss the playoffs, because Owen is right. The NFC is really strong right now. It's really tough. Although the 49ers currently have the best record in the NFC. Let's see if they can hold on to that.
Yeah. Keep beating NFC teams too. That's important too. That isn't that the number one tiebreaker?
I believe it is head to head. Yeah.
Yeah. So keep beating those guys. I like it. Got to beat the Saints. Got to beat the Panthers. Obviously, you already beat the Bucks, and they're a legit NFC contender now after taking out the Rams, right?
Absolutely.
Who knows?
I don't know. The good teams are bad, and the bad teams are good.
Even the Lions are over there, almost beating the Chiefs. Like, what's going on?
Dude, the Lions went on the road and beat the Eagles?
I know. And the Chargers.
Yeah. It's crazy out there, man. We'll see. It's going to be a fun one. I can't wait to break it all down with you next week. Nick, thank you so much for joining me here.
Yeah, my pleasure, buddy.
And have fun at the game, and I will talk to the rest of you guys tomorrow with my guest, Dylan DeSimone of 4th and 9, right here, Locked On 49ers.
See ya.